So Isaiah 62, and then we're going to turn to Zechariah chapter 1. James has very kindly given me an opportunity to continue this next week for about 20 minutes, so we're only going to spend 20 minutes on this section. I haven't got a clock, so I can't tell you how long that will be. Pardon?
Rock on the table.
Oh, it's right. 7:30. Okay. So Isaiah 62, I'm going to read the first 7 verses. The main thing of all this, whatever politicians say, what does God say about Jerusalem? That's the issue. What does God say about Jerusalem? Well, let's read Isaiah 62 in the first 7 verses. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. This is the Lord speaking through his servant. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation is a lamp that burns. The Gentiles, the nations, shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name. Interesting. We'll look at that new name later. Which the mouth of the Lord will name, you shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem, crown, in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, which means my delight is in her, and your land Beulah, which means married to the Lord. For the Lord delights in you, there it is, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, who shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth. And that is not the new Jerusalem coming from heaven. It's Jerusalem a praise on the earth. This is what the Lord says. Zion in the Bible has 3 meanings, depending on the context. It means the land of Israel, it means the people of Israel, and the city of Jerusalem. That's the meaning of Zion. When you look at verse 6 here, he says, I have set watchmen on your walls. And there is certainly many people praying, and we've been asked to pray concerning Jerusalem and Israel. And we're called never to hold our peace day nor night. And then that extra part of verse 6, you who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The whole thing here and the implication is this. You are called to be God's secretaries. That's what the word means, to make mention of the Lord. And not to keep silent, but to be God's secretaries, like a good secretary tells a boss, you've got an appointment to keep at such and such time. That's what we ask the Lord to do. You've got an appointment with Jerusalem at some time. Lord, we're just reminding you about it. Not that you have a bad memory, certainly not. He remembers anyway. We're not to keep silent. We're to call upon the Lord to establish his own purposes for Jerusalem. And not to give him any rest until one day he will establish a Jerusalem and praise on the earth. There's so much in the scriptures about that. Now move on to Zechariah, please, if you will. Zechariah chapter 1 initially. Then we go to chapter 8, 1 and 2 and then 8. Well, what we're doing, we're letting the word of the Lord speak concerning Jerusalem. We're going to Zechariah, we're going down to Ezekiel, one couple of chapters in Ezekiel. So in Zechariah chapter 1, let's look down to verse 14. Zechariah 1 verse 14. What does the Lord say? Well, the angel spoke with me, the servant of the Lord, the messenger, proclaimed saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, God speaking, I am jealous, or in the New King James, I am zealous for Jerusalem. And for Zion, so there he is, Zion in this context is Jerusalem. I am jealous or zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. I'm exceedingly angry with the nations at ease. He's not very pleased with the nations of the earth regarding Jerusalem. For I was a little angry and they helped him, but with evil intent. You know, that's true enough, isn't it? Go to verse 17. Again, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. That's God's choice. It's his city. The Lord Jesus is coming back to reign there as the King of Israel in the Davidic covenant. Now go to chapter 2, please. I'm letting the scripture speak for the moment. Chapter 2 of Zechariah, verse 10 to 13. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, that's Jerusalem. Yeah, chapter 2, verse 7. Verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, the second coming of the Lord to Israel. I'm coming, and Jerusalem is my city. I will dwell there. I'm going to live there and rule there. That's what he says. And I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. We won't go into that detail. But if we turn to Zechariah 14 later, you'll see the nations are called to come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord at the Feast of Tabernacles in the millennium. They shall become my people. Of course, many nations, believers there. And I will dwell in your midst, Jerusalem. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. That's true, isn't it? And the Lord will take possession of Judah, which Jerusalem is in the center of Judea, as his inheritance. If you've got an inheritance, you're going to live in it, won't you? He will. In the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. That's his choice. That's his plan. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. He's getting angry with the nations. Well, I go over to chapter 8, please, if you will. Wonderful book of the prophet Zechariah. Chapter 8, first three verses initially, and then a verse later on. Chapter 8, verse 1. Jerusalem in the future, this is. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts. By the way, the Lord of hosts means the God of armies. His armies are coming from heaven. We're among them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, verse 2, I am jealous. There it is. I am zealous for Zion with great zeal, or jealousy, with great fervor, great energy. I am jealous or zealous for her. That's his own personal possession. Thus says the Lord, verse 3, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth when he's back, for he is the truth. The mountain of the Lord of hosts, mountain in Bible prophecy, the kingdom. He's going to set up his kingdom here. The mountain or the kingdom of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain, the kingdom there. Now go down, please, to verse 22 in the same chapter. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord, centered in Jerusalem. I'll go to the last chapter, 14, if you will, get that verified. Let me go back to comments in an earlier chapter. In chapter 14, look at the very beginning, in verse 1. The day of the Lord is coming. That's the time of his judgment. Verse 2, he's going to gather the nations to battle against Jerusalem. Not to destroy her, but the Lord will destroy the nations that come against her. And that's his plan. Verse 3, the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, the second coming of the Lord Jesus to Israel. In verse 4, which faces Jerusalem on the east, the Mount of Olives will be split in two, and so on. Remarkable, isn't it? Go to verse 9, same chapter, verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth after a second advent, he's coming to reign and rule. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name are the Jewish Shema. Now down to verse 16 for brevity. And it shall come to pass, here it is, that everyone who's left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And if they don't, he brings judgment, no rain, like Elijah's day. And in that day, verse 20, there will be holiness to the Lord. Zechariah is the most remarkable book of prophecy. If you go back to chapter 12, if you will, here's a promise of the Lord in verse 10 of chapter 12. I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. God is going to hear their prayer, repentance, and he will save them. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. That's his second coming. They will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for his firstborn. In that day there will be great mourning in Jerusalem when they see whom they pierce. You know that. And what does he say in response in chapter 13, verse 1? In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And the Lord is going to bless them. Most remarkable. Now I'd like you to go back, right back into the Old Testament to the book of 2 Chronicles and see what Solomon says. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We know that David wanted to build the temple, but he couldn't, but Solomon did. And in chapter 6, of 2 Chronicles and verse 6, see what Solomon says about Jerusalem and about the Lord. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 6. I have chosen Jerusalem, that's the Lord speaking, that my name may be there. For I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Well, the son of David is the Lord Jesus, from the tribe of Judah, the line of Judah. Is the Lord Jesus. He will inherit David's throne according to the Davidic covenant and rule in Jerusalem as the Lord promised David in 2 Samuel 7 and Psalm 89. We won't turn to it now, but that's how it is. Yet there were some of the Psalms written by King David himself, and I'd like you to go forward to Psalm 48 with me. I'm letting the Word of God speak for the moment. Psalm 48, please. And see what David says, as he understood God's plans for Jerusalem. This is what he says about the city of Jerusalem. Psalm 48, verse 1. We read 1 and 2. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. See, God calls this as my city, the city of our God. In his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Jerusalem is the city of the great king, belongs to Jesus. And he will reign there when he comes. Go to verse 11. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgment, the Lord's decisions. Walk about Zion, Jerusalem, you've been to Israel, around Jerusalem, you walk around the walls. I've been around the walls of Jerusalem. You can't go around all of them, only some of them. Walk about Zion and go all around her, count her towers, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, for our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Wonderful focus on Zion here, the city of Jerusalem. While we're in the Psalms, go to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. And look from verse 13 to 18. Psalm 102, 13 to 18. Psalm 102, verse 13. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time or the appointed time, has come, prophetically speaking. For your servants take pleasure in the stones. Israel loves archaeology to prove Israel's past history. And show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the Lord, the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth show glory. In fact, in the book of Revelation, eventually the kings and peoples will come to worship the Lord, even in the New Jerusalem. And verse 16 is important. Verse 16. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. Second coming. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. How many Jewish people went in the Holocaust to the ovens and to their death with the Messiah prayer on their lips? You can't be more destitute than that, can you? And the Lord won't despise their prayer. Verse 18 is very important. This will be written for the generation to come. In the Hebrew, it's Ledor Aharon, which means the last generation. The last generation that sees the Lord build up Israel and the Lord build up Jerusalem, ready for his coming, will be the last generation, according to the Hebrew. Ledor Aharon, the last generation. This will be written for the last generation to come, it says. That a people yet to be created may praise the Lord, and that will be a remnant of Israel, worshipping the Lord, having been saved. Now we can look at many, many other scriptures. If you could you just put the map on again, please?
Yes,
James,
course.
Would you mind just having a look at it? Thank you. Now we looked at the script to see what God is saying. Now you can see where Israel, in fact, is very small, just really, it's not
that
far.
Be easier than that one?
There you can see Israel there, just on the east coast of the Mediterranean. Look at all the nations surrounding her. Now we thought last week about the Gog and Magog war, didn't we? And you've got the different countries all around there. You've got in the north, you've got Libya, North Africa. You've got Iraq, you've got Syria, you've got Turkey there. Further north, you'll have Russia. And you've got all the stands there, which are now very much Islamic, the former Soviet Union satellite countries, all the way down the stands there with Russia above. And if we had another map, we could see that Jerusalem in Israel there, and due north of Jerusalem is Moscow. And we looked at that last time. And we can see the different nations surrounding Israel with their hostility, includes Turkey, Armenia there, just to the east of Turkey, Syria, Iran, Iraq, all the troubles there, Saudi Arabia, well, reasonably quiet towards Israel. So is Egypt for the moment, but Libya, no. And we've got Sudan there, just by Ethiopia. South Sudan is the one mentioned as Ethiopian scriptures, which again will oppose Israel, because South Sudan is very Islamic. North Sudan has a great Christian influence, but not the South, strongly Islamic. All those nations round about there. And Jerusalem, in fact, if you now go, thank you, James,
okay.
If you go to Ezekiel, go forwards from the Psalms to Ezekiel chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 5. And look at one verse in verse 5 of Ezekiel, verse chapter 5 and verse 5. Ezekiel 5 and verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her. The word there for set her in the midst from the Hebrew is the word which means the navel. The navel, of course, the ladies know, is a place where a baby is born and the link of blood and oxygen and nutrients are to the baby. So Jerusalem is the navel of the earth, out of which comes life, as a navel through the umbilical cord, the baby and so on, brings life. And Jerusalem brings life. Jesus was born 5 miles south of Jerusalem in Bethlehem. He was crucified in Jerusalem. He was raised in Jerusalem. He ascended from the Mount of Olives, 1 mile east of Jerusalem. He'll return to Israel to be their king. Jerusalem is the center of the earth in God's planning. Now I'm going to just take 2 more minutes. I said it wouldn't be any more than 20. James allowed me to continue next week, which we will do so. And I'd like you to once again turn to Zechariah as I finish just for the moment. Zechariah, my, this is just something which is staggering. In chapter 12 of Zechariah, we looked at verse 10, but I want to go back, please. First of all, in chapter 12 and verse 1, this is a burden of the Lord. and the burden of the prophet too. What does he say in verse 2? Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness or a cup of trembling, you may have it in the AB, to all the surrounding peoples, nations round about her, and in nations of the earth. When they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, this is the Armageddon time, way ahead. It shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone or a burdensome stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, so that all nations of the earth be gathered against it, and they will be. What is the Lord saying here? If you dare to touch Jerusalem, I will destroy you. That's what the Lord is saying. The nations of the earth are against Israel. If you, I won't turn to it now, but in Psalm 2 it says, the nations shall rage. And they are beginning to rage. On President Trump's decision to establish the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv into Jerusalem. President Obama banned it. The Senate, House of Senate and Representatives in America wanted to establish the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem many years ago. President Obama, as a president, had the right to stop it, and he did. But now President Trump, with the support of the Senate and the Representatives, their house is there, and they are going to do it. It may take a long time, a lot of planning to do. It won't be overnight. But that's what he's planned, and the nations are getting angry. Psalm 2, the nations will rage. That's all in the future. It's coming. God will keep his word. He is keeping. I've read so much. This is what the Lord has promised.
His promises are coming true.
Yeah, his promises are there. That's true enough. If you handle Jerusalem, he says, I'm going to make a cup of reeling. What that means, I'm going to put poison in your cup. That's what it means. In the Hebrew, I'm going to put poison in your cup. You're going to drink the cup. It's going to be a bitter one, and you're going to be poisoned through it. I'm going to deal with you. All those who handled Jerusalem in the wrong way. It's my city, he says. I put my name there. Now, last of all, Ezekiel chapter 39, back again to Ezekiel, last verse. We talked about the name that the Lord is going to give to Jerusalem just now. Chapter 48, the last chapter of Ezekiel, and verse 35. Last verse of Ezekiel. Now, these last chapters of Ezekiel, just to put you in context, are all about the millennial setup of the nation of Israel and the details of the millennial temple, which will be rebuilt. Not now, that will be the Antichrist temple that's planned building now. Now this is after that's all destroyed. The Lord is going to set up the millennial temple. All the details described about chapter 40 onwards, thereabouts. And in Ezekiel 48 verse 35, this is a description, of course, finishing off the description of the way in which the land is going to be divided up to the 12 tribes in that 48 early. But he then says, the name of the city from that day, when the Lord is back establishing his kingdom, dividing up the land for all the 12 tribes, and setting up his kingdom, his very throne in Jerusalem, the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. That sums it all up. The Lord will be there. And in Hebrew it's Jehovah Shammah, one of the names of God we're considering. One of the names of God is the Lord is there. Where in Jerusalem? And all who handled Jerusalem.
Is that the earthly Jerusalem?
Pardon?
Is that the earthly?
Yes, that's the earthly Jerusalem, because it's a millennial temple. It's a millennial temple on the earthly Jerusalem, not the heavenly one.
Not the heavenly one.
No. The prophet was concerned with national, physical Israel, and will be spiritual as well. And just a final conclusion. As far as the scriptures are concerned, Jerusalem is mentioned 828 times in Scripture. It's a lot, isn't it? And Mount Zion, we read just a few places, is mentioned 156 times. And the Lord says, I'm going to place my name there because I'm coming there. And I'm their king. We'll continue our text next 3 minutes. James?
Thank you very much indeed. Don?
We'll continue our text.
Tabernacle. As you examine its furnishings, God will lead you through it to Jesus of Nazareth, the real tabernacle of God that was made without hands. All who know Jesus as the divine human tabernacle of God may also become the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Chapter 5 follows the covenant as God progressively reveals it through the innocent substitutionary sacrifice. You'll find yourself at the tabernacle making sacrifices before the Lord. There at the altar, God will give you detailed instructions so that each sacrifice will uniquely reveal something to you about the nature of the perfect sacrifice in Jesus. All who have accepted Jesus as their sin sacrifice not only have their sins covered, but they have been taken away to be remembered no more. Chapter 6 describes the covenant as God revealed it in the high priest. You'll see him in his garments of glory and beauty and anxiously watch as he intercedes for you on the Day of Atonement. God will focus your eyes toward a future high priest, the Lord Jesus, who came as the perfect mediator between God and man. In him, all may be accepted before God and inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundations of the world. In chapter 7, you will learn how God revealed the covenant in the Passover celebration. From the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost in Egypt, God will lead you to the real Lamb who came to take away the sins of the world. That Lamb is Jesus. All who will receive him as their Passover offering will receive the life of God within them and experience communion with their Creator. Look for Jesus. Sound exciting? It surely is. It's the most exciting news in the world. An unknown author put it this way: I find my Lord in the Bible, wherever I chance to look. He is the theme of the Bible, the center and heart of the book. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Lily Fair. Wherever I open my Bible, the Lord of the book is there. He, at the book's beginning, gave to the earth its form. He is the ark of shelter, bearing the brunt of the storm, the burning bush of the desert, the budding of Aaron's rod. Wherever I look in the Bible, I see the Son of God. The ram upon Mount Moriah, the ladder from earth to sky, the scarlet cord in the window, and the serpent lifted high. The smitten rock in the desert, the shepherd with staff and crook. The face of my Lord I discover, wherever I open the book. He is the seed of the woman, the Savior virgin born. He is the Son of David, whom men rejected with scorn. His garments of grace and beauty, the stately Aaron deck. Yet he is a priest forever, for he is Melchizedek. Lord of eternal glory, whom John the apostle saw, lights of the golden city, lamb without spot or flaw. Bridegroom coming at midnight, for whom the virgins look, wherever I open my Bible, I find my Lord in the book. As you read the pages of this book, I pray that God will powerfully reveal to you His grace and glory. I pray that God's beloved Jewish people will come to know their Messiah, Yeshua, the Hebrew way of saying Jesus, and enter into the new covenant through His blood atonement. I pray that Gentiles will come to know the power of the blood of Jesus to reconcile them to God and bring forgiveness of sins. For Christians, I pray they will come to know their Heavenly Father more intimately and receive the fullest measure of His Spirit operating in their lives. Jesus in every book of the Bible. Jesus in the Law. Genesis, the seed of woman. Exodus, the Passover lamb. Leviticus, the perfect sacrifice. Numbers, the lifted up one. Deuteronomy, the prophet greater than Moses. Jesus in the books of history. Joshua, the captain of our salvation. Judges, the deliverer. Ruth, the near kinsman. Samuel, the judge. Kings and Chronicles, the king. Ezra, the faithful scribe. Nehemiah, the restorer of our soul. Esther, the advocate. Jesus in the books of poetry. Job, the ever-living redeemer. Psalms, the new song. Proverbs, the wisdom of God. Ecclesiastes, the goal of life. Song of Solomon, lover of our soul. Jesus in the major prophets. Isaiah, the suffering servant. Jeremiah, righteous branch of David. Lamentation, the weeping prophet. Ezekiel, the glory of God. Daniel, the smiting stone and fourth man. Jesus in the minor prophets. Hosea, the forgiving bridegroom. Joel, the giver of the Holy Spirit. Amos, the builder of the city of God. Obadiah, the Savior. Jonah, the firstborn from the dead. Micah, the ruler of all ages. Nahum, the avenger. Habakkuk, the God of our salvation. Zephaniah, the one in our midst. Haggai, the restorer of the kingdom. Zechariah, the priest on the throne. Malachi, the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. Jesus in the Gospels. Matthew, the king of the Jews. Mark, the servant. Luke, the Son of Man. John, the Son of God. Jesus in formation of the church. Acts, the giver of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in Paul's letters. Romans, the justifier of sinners. Corinthians, the giver of gifts. Galatians, the liberator of our soul. Ephesians, the exalted one. Philippians, our joy. Colossians, the head of all things. Thessalonians, the hope of mankind. Timothy and Titus, pastor and shepherd. Philemon, our covenant friend. Jesus in the general letters. Hebrews, the messenger of the new covenant. James, the great physician. Peter, the cornerstone. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, love, light, and truth. Jude, the one who is able to keep us. Jesus in Revelation. Revelation, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.